Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday. It's December 19th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. When you're in a medical emergency, you may not care which hospital you go to. But a new investigation found that Catholic hospitals sometimes deny care for religious purposes.
I think the scary part is that California's progressive policies don't mean much if hospitals decide to follow religious directives over state law.
Coming up, we will speak with the reporter behind that investigation. But first, these headlines. City leaders officially unveiled new upgrades at Fresno Yosemite International Airport this week. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado tells us city leaders see the renovations as a boost for the region.
Fresno's Mayor Jerry Dyer has a saying that goes something like this.
Great cities have great airports, and Fresno is well on our way to having a great airport.
On Wednesday, he was joined by city leaders and community members to officially unveil new upgrades that he says are taking the city to new heights, literally and figuratively. The expansion plans at Fresno Yosemite International Airport have been in the works for about 4 years. The upgrades include a new terminal with new restaurants and added flights. Tyler Maxwell represents Fresno's 4th District. He says the city has seen a surge in entertainment offerings and business activity. A growing airport provides an opportunity for more visitors.
But also economic opportunity, social opportunity, cultural opportunity, artistic opportunity as well.
Officials also paid tribute to the city's former director of aviation, Henry Thompson. Before his death in July, he contributed his vision for the airport's expansion. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
The infamous Thule fog stuck around with us for nearly a month, and it had many wondering when it would let sunshine in. Brian Oakes is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service office in Hanford. He said the thick, low cloud layer lasted for roughly 25 days due to a high-pressure system that broke this week. He says we're getting some rain this weekend and likely into Christmas, and then the fog may return.
I would say I don't think we'll see it for quite as long, but only if we get another high-pressure pattern similar to what we've been seeing. That's probably not going to happen till maybe after Christmas or end of the year.
He says the last time Thule fog lasted this long in the valley was back in the 1970s. The runner-up for this season of the TV singing competition, The Voice, says he auditioned a dozen times before landing on the show and then earning second place this week. In the past, Fresno native Ralph Edwards had also auditioned for America's Got Talent and American Idol. He said he was determined not to give up on his dream.
My mom always asked me, like, are you going to ever have, like, a plan B? And I just told her no. Like, wow. This was what I want. And so, you know, just doing music full time was what I wanted to do forever, and it still is, so.
Edwards came to the KVPR studios to give one of his first interviews since winning second place in the competition, and you can hear our full conversation with him in a later episode of Central Valley Daily. Workers at Yosemite National Park could see less pay under recently updated policies. The news outlet SF Gate reports that workers could see their pay drop by as much as $4 per hour. That's in addition to changes in how employees are evaluated. SF Gate reports that the changes are adding to pressure on workers who already had to work without pay during the longest government shutdown last month and who have faced reduced workforces in the second Trump administration.
If 2025 has shown us anything, it's that reliable information is essential. KVPR is now 100% community funded, and we need you to keep that information flowing. Make your year-end gift to KVPR now at kvpr.org/donate.
And now to our main story. Many times, if you have to visit a hospital, it's an emergency. You might be frantic or rushing, just hoping you can get the care you need in time. So what if you finally make it to a doctor, only to find they won't treat you? That was the case for Rachel Harrison last year when she unexpectedly went into labor at just 17 weeks. She eventually needed an abortion for her safety, but the hospital she checked into near Sacramento would not provide one. The hospital was affiliated with Dignity Health, a Catholic faith-based organization where abortions violate their religious directives. Dignity Health has locations across California, including hospitals in Merced and Bakersfield. We'll have more on Rachel's story in a moment, but first, let me introduce today's guest. Anya Schultz is an award-winning enterprise reporter for the San Francisco Standard. Anya recently covered Rachel's story for her reporting on Catholic maternal health care in California. And Anya starts our conversation with some background on Dignity Health.
Dignity is the largest hospital system in California. It's a nonprofit, but last year it reported over $11 billion in revenue. Its CEO makes more than $20 million a year, so it's not a system struggling for resources. But because Dignity is Catholic, it follows the ethical and religious directives written by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. And these are rules that govern all Catholic hospitals. And one of the rules restricts miscarriage care if there's still fetal cardiac activity. So that basically means a detectable heartbeat can override when doctors would normally provide a medically necessary abortion to protect a patient's health.
I want to note that we have several of these facilities in our region, including in Merced and Bakersfield here in the San Joaquin Valley. Based on your research for this report, would you say a lot of people know that some hospitals have this religious affiliation? And just how much that's an issue for people depending on the type of care they need?
I would say a lot of people have no idea, not until they're unfortunately denied care. I spoke with a researcher at UCSF who about 6 years ago did a survey along with the University of Chicago. They talked to thousands of women across the state and country and found that more than a third of women whose primary hospital was Catholic had no idea. And it seems like patients tend to know if the hospital has a very obvious religious name, but the reason that these Catholic hospital systems have grown so big is with mergers and acquisitions and buying up smaller community hospitals that might have secular sounding names. So no, it's not always clear.
Yeah, even in my research for this conversation, I was surprised to find the word Catholic mentioned really just once on the About Dignity website. And they rebranded to that name, I think, in 2012. So a lot of folks know that name Dignity, might not know about the affiliation. And interestingly, one of your sources in your story was quoted as saying, a hospital is just a hospital. You go there to get help. Like, that's how most people see it, probably.
Right. That was Rachel. And yeah, she is religious. She believes in God. She prays. But she was not expecting religion to decide what type of healthcare she'd receive at the hospital.
So, and tell us about, this is Rachel Harrison and Marcel Johnson, who are the centerpiece of your story. Tell us about their experience with Dignity Health.
Yeah, so Rachel and Marcel are a young couple in their 20s outside Sacramento. They were really excited to start a family. And then Rachel got pregnant. She was about 17 weeks pregnant in September of last year, so September 2024, when her water broke suddenly and she was bleeding. And she later would learn that she had a condition called previable PPROM, which can be fatal for a pregnant patient. It requires immediate medical care. The standard care calls for an emergency procedure that terminates the pregnancy because it can be fatal for the mother. So they just knew that her water broke and something was wrong, and they rushed to the nearest hospital to them, which was Mercy San Juan. Mercy is owned by Dignity Health, they would later learn. So in the ER, they were there for 4 hours and then finally got an ultrasound, and the doctor told them that unfortunately the pregnancy could not be saved. But then they said that because the fetus still had a faint heartbeat, the hospital couldn't do anything because of their religious beliefs, and they sent her home to miscarry. And while she was at home, she got sicker, she started contracting. So they drove to Kaiser, which is a secular health facility. Kaiser immediately recognized the danger. They performed the abortion, and she recovered, although her baby did not survive. Despite that, through the grief, they tried again, and Rachel got pregnant the following winter. And this time it was a baby girl. She was very excited. And then at 17 weeks, the same thing happened again. Her water broke. This time they refused to go back to Mercy San Juan after their experience. So they went to a different hospital called Mercy General, which unfortunately they would learn later is also a Dignity Health facility. So again, because there was a heartbeat, they were discharged without care. They drove straight to Kaiser, and Rachel was contracting, losing blood, and she ultimately developed sepsis and needed a blood transfusion. Her baby did not survive. The doctors performed the medically necessary procedure, and she was kept in the hospital for days to recover. And this is exactly the type of complication that doctors try to prevent when a patient comes in with a miscarriage, and why they provide timely care. And so after these two really awful, horrible experiences, Rachel and Marcel decided to seek legal counsel. And Dignity Health is based in San Francisco. So this September, they filed a lawsuit in San Francisco Superior Court. Their lawsuit alleges that Dignity Health with Mercy San Juan and Mercy General violated California's Emergency Care Act and failed to provide life-saving care, which is required by state law. And it also alleges discrimination under the state's civil rights law, as well as medical malpractice. Marcel told me that he wants the whole world to know what these hospitals did to his family, and he just does not want this to happen to other patients in the future.
Yeah, really heartbreaking situation. And just so listeners know, Mercy San Juan and Mercy General, those are hospitals in the Sacramento area, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Has Dignity commented on Rachel and Marcel's experience?
They declined to address Rachel and Marcel's specific experiences, but said that they're committed to providing the highest quality compassionate care. And when a pregnant patient's health is at risk, that they will provide appropriate care.
It's sort of the elephant in the room, if you will, when I was reading your reporting, was just when it comes to discussing maternal care these days, my mind goes to the overturning of Roe versus Wade in 2022. I'm curious if you can just sort of illuminate the impact that this moment had and how it might have just heightened people's concerns when it comes to safe maternal care in California these days.
Right, absolutely. I mean, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, there's been abortion bans in other states, and women have died in states like Texas and Georgia while being denied basic health care. In California, I think we like to think that that can't happen here because California has protected abortion rights on paper. Governor Newsom, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, signed laws that aim to protect patients and providers from lawsuits and their privacy with abortion. The governor called California a safe haven for maternal care. But I think the scary part is that California's progressive policies don't mean much if hospitals decide to follow religious directives over state law.
Lastly, Anya, I want to bring the conversation back to Rachel and Marcel. I'm curious how things stand for them now with their lawsuit and also just their hopes for a family that started all of this.
Rachel and Marcel they're grieving and trying to get through this the best way they can. Marcel told me he took up fishing and likes to go spend time at the lake to clear his head. But they both were really clear that they still want to start a family, and they want to be parents, and they're not going to let anything stop them.
Anya Schultz, Enterprise reporter for the San Francisco Standard. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Hey, How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.